Brother Bill Kern, of Logan, Utah, is a graduating Christian university, graduated here in 1950. Why Virginia would like for her to stand so that you'll hear her. They have two children, Chris and Lee. They also are twin grandsons. Now we'll have to get together and compare twin granddaughters. And he says he has pictures you're interested in. Are you ready? Brother Hearn has traveled on campaigns for across many parts of the world, including Africa and Australia, Canada, and a number of Americans. He's lived in Logan since 1973, which you'll recognize as a strong Mormon community. He has come to appreciate the Mormon people differs from them particularly in their and he is now concentrating very heavily, informing and alerting everyone to Mormonism. We're very anxious to hear comments entitled "How to Do the Mormon Mission." And I present Bill Hearn.
Mr. Wilson, and I appreciate the all of you today, this assembly. I want to make it clear from the very beginning that I absolutely no ill will whatsoever toward the Mormon people. Some of the finest that I've ever had in my life are now my members. Recently, the neighbor asked me, she says, "Bill, what Mormons?" And I said, "I love them. I love every one of them. But I disagree with their doctrine. My quarrel is doctrine." The good lady said, "Well, there are some things doctrine I don't agree with." To me, that was an open door, invitation. I'm going to say, she doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to. Mormon people, associated with them there now for nearly 7 years, come to respect them. All the ones I know are good ones. That doesn't mean that all are good ones, because from what I hear about as many yellow flags and things we have in our book, whatever it comes to getting down the city. But I quarrel with them. My objection is to, and that's what I'm going to direct into. Also, I would not be surprised if some Mormon missionaries in this office, because I would have let the schedule advertised locally, and I would not be surprised if some of the Mormon people in the Abilene have read what is being here. It wouldn't surprise me if there are two Mormon missionaries here. It wouldn't surprise me if there are some local Mormons in the audience. If I welcome you, be glad to have you, and we'll be glad to be with you after this. And some things that you can use with the knocks on your door. You'll never have one. They'll always be in pairs. But these things that I suggest to you today can also be with your Mormon neighbor, Mormon friend, and your Mormon relative. Might need to modify little bit, but they will be with any Mormon person. First, let me tell facts about them to let you see what kind of problem we have been dealing with. I've in the past, why do you attack Mormons? Why do you attack Mormonism? Not attacking Mormonism. I'm simply answering the question that Mormon doctrine makes. They make flawed and bodacious claims. I'm simply presenting a challenge to claims. So I'm a Mormon. Someone might say, well, why don't you leave the lawn? I would if they would leave. But they won't. They are going all over attempting to make Mormons out of Mormons. And I'm trying to get out of Mormons. And I'm doing what I'm doing. Two facts about the Mormon church. We say right here that I'm talking to the Salt Lake City Mormon. I know very little about the reorganizers whose headquarters are in Independence. I understand different doctrines. I know of course, but I'm not acquainted very much with their doctrine. So my comment is entirely toward Salt Lake City branch. The Mormon Church headquarters in Salt Lake City, second richest organization west of the Mississippi River. There's only one organization west of the Mississippi that's richer than the church, and that's Bank of America in San Francisco. Mormon Church business is concerned ranks in the United States, right up next to the top with General Motors, Electric, AT&T, certainly way ahead of inflation right now. They own in every in the union, own real estate in every continent in the world. Real estate holdings, and these are few, a very brief few. Some of them include such things as 36-story apartment range in New York City, official life insurance company headquarters in office city, one of the church in Logan, Utah, bought an insurance policy, took an insurance policy with someone who came to their door. Only after they got the back through the mail, up and read it, did the president of the beneficial life company's name was identical to the Mormon church. The directors of beneficial life insurance identical with the socials of the Mormon church. These are some of the things they own. They own $3 million worth of real estate in Illinois. They own 300,000 acres next to Disney World. How would you fly so that? They own the FCC limit. Hear me in the back. They own the FCC limit and television station states. Just years ago, they purchased a station in Dallas, Texas, and that won over the FCC limit and invested themselves a KSL AM station in the city in order to meet the FCC. They own 6 acres in downtown Salt Lake, 2,600 acres in on 28 miles worth of stock in the Los Angeles newspaper. They own Sunset Juice. They own Apple. Western Airlines. They own Utah, or they own Union Pacific Railroad. They own Marriott Inns and Fashion Exchange. Marriott Inns puts more hot on more airplanes in the United States. And all other fast food chains. The thing is, Mormon church. On Mountain Fuel, may not mean much to you. In Utah, Mountain Fuel supply. They supply the a home. You can't live in Utah and not supply the church. And many of you live, probably, are still supporting the church. These are just a few of the things they own. In 1994, U.S. report sent a reporter to Salt Lake City and church officials and through their magazine, Mormon Church's income in 1994 was $1 million. That caused so much flack. from among the poor, hard-working people out in the rural areas. They were scraping current from their kind, so the temple recommends from the bishop to go to the temple and their daughter gets. It caused so much flack. Poor Mormons, so Alexis said, all right, no more interviews. They didn't come to the divine, no more interviews. October of 1975, and a Starbucks from Honolulu that, quote, ties up nations and business income totals more than $1 billion a year. Now then, if you want a shark, put down $1 billion and divide 165. It's out roughly $3 million a day. Now, in 1980, it's estimated that their income is $4 per day, 365 and a quarter days. That gives you an idea of some of the things, just some of the holdings. They own much more. I can't some other things, but I can't. I don't know. I've just heard on a lot of interests or controlling a lot of different organizations. This much I know, you can't live and not support them. Groceries from the chain store that's owned, they supply much of what you have to have in order to live. Let's look at this. Mormonism is growing religious organization in the United States and perhaps the world. I don't know about the world. But they have more than 28 missionaries in the field in the world. It's growing in the United States and maybe in the world. In 1978, the year that I have figures for, 1979 total is not available. 1978, their net increase, 110 converts, 410 converts per day for the entire year. Then, remember that they keep the figures. It means people who have been converted, people who are converted from other Mormonism. That's what I'm quoting. This does not include the number that grows on ranks and becomes members automatically every 6 years. To give you an idea of how fast they're growing, Mormonism, 17 years, dating from 1830, took them 117 to reach their first million members. It took them 6 years to reach their second million. It took them 2 years to reach their third million. It took them 5 years to reach their fourth million. That was as of April 19th, they reached their fourth million. Rather great. Sometimes they'll reach. That's how fast. Now let me pause just that these figures are added because they don't cut anybody off until they are excommunicated. One leaves the church and becomes inactive, they never take them off. They join some other religion, they don't take them off, maybe for a long time, if ever. Well, it's been 2 or 3 years, Joe College, the church near Ogden, Utah. He had left home when he was a young man, about 18, Second World War, married a Christian girl in years and became obedient to the faith. I remember the church now for years, and it's been 30 years since he attended in Mormon City. And yet one Saturday man knocked on the door and spent with him trying to convince him to come home. He refused, and the next morning, suddenly he was leaving his house with a Bible and headed for church. He came back and presented him with a summons for a Mormon tribunal to why he should be excommunicated. And he told him to make it. But that shows, that just tells how that they had been, he had been carried as a member for years. And I can give you instances like this. Then, what to do when these Mormon missionaries come to your door? Choices, when you see these two clean men coming down the street and you three blocks away. They'll be young men, fresh clothes, haircuts, dark suits, certainly not anything. Yes, it'll be black or navy blue. It'll be a white shirt and a tie, conservative. They'll have a name up here that carries your name on it, or under it. So you warning now, you can see them 3 blocks. When they knock on your door, what do you do? Buses. Number one, you can close the door and say thank you, close the door. And let me say here that that's legal, it's perfectly on, it's all right for you to do that. Furthermore, your knowledge of the Bible is not sufficient to defend faith against one of the most insane, mind-knocking, bending, in sheep's clothing approach this world has ever seen, then I suggest and urge you to close the door. In fact, that's the second the door. But now then, I ask you in the next few minutes, and continue this in the next 2 afternoons, I'm going to give you some suggestions you can use if you want to. For you to begin with, you're not going to be one of these young men. I will lay you off 1 million to 1 to convert them. But there is a possibility that you may be able to make their faith in their faith enough that it will bend time break somebody somewhere down the road, years from now, maybe to them to help them pick up the pieces back together in Christ Jesus. And that's all that you can do if you invite them in. So now then your choice. Either say, no, thank you, close the door, and forget about it, or invite them. And I would suggest that you do it. When they open the door and you sit there and you recognize them immediately, or put a big smile and push the screen and say, come in, gentlemen. I have been wanting with somebody from the Mormons, been wanting to learn more Mormonism. Come in. Before they can get seated good, back in front of them with a sheet of paper and a pencil. By the time they get seated, take over the conversation. Let them take over the conversation. It's your house. Right to keep command of the conversation. If you don't keep command of the conversation, they will. And if end of it, I'll guarantee you that you get nowhere except in the possibility of becoming a member of the priesthood. Whenever you invite men back in front of the right quick with the you act it and you say, tell me, what is distinct Mormonism? What's different about it? What makes it unique? What makes it separate and apart from all religions in the world? And you anticipate whatever they're going to do, ready to write it down. Now then, I don't know what they're going to do. I can't tell you what whatever they tell you, you write it down. If they don't think of anything right, I'm going to give you some suggestions on prod there. Let me pause at this point and say, interject this, but you need to know this. There are 4 sources of inspiration the Mormons consider. They accept the Bible with qualification. James Version. Let me share with you how they accept it. The present 8 of faith of Mormon doctrines, we believe the Bible of God as far as translated directly. We also believe the Book of Mormon. That's the current. Here is the way Joseph Smith penned it originally. Reading now, reproduction. Book of Commandments, published in 1833, and this is included. This was published in 1833, and this is a reproduction of it. Available if anyone would like them. Here's what Joseph Smith wrote. We believe in the God recorded in the Bible. No qualification. We also believe recorded in the Book of Mormon. than all other good books. Somebody somewhere changed it from the original to now. That'd be a good question. If you want to make a note of that. Ask it and when they changed it. Why? They accept the King James Version with one. They also accept the Book of the Doctrine of Covenants, full of great price. These are the what they call scripture, sources of scripture. They call them. Yet, I add that they also accept the Journal of Discourses, which sermons and lessons, whatever any Mormon president said. They also accept the history of the church, also accept the prophet Joseph Smith. Brigham Young went on record one time, I have never preached a sermon and could not call it scripture. So whatever Young said, they accepted. So sources of their authority. Now then, our point, when we invite them in, is to try their faith in their authority. Let me suggest, don't even bother to tell them with the Bible. Don't even mention them. No good. Except they're writing over what the Bible every time. And they'll tell you that's where the Bible is translated. It's not translated correctly. And there's no use to argue with them at this point. Don't even mention the Bible at this point. Ask them what's different about Mormonism, what to all other religions. Now then, if they are hesitant, can't think of anything that's different, suggestions. The nature of God in there are many contradictions within Mormonism. The book teaches the truth concerning the nature of Christ. It teaches that God, Spirit, from everlasting to everlasting, just like the Bible teaches. They teach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Holy Spirit. Mormon does. Doctrine is something else. So I'll call attention to that later. But covenants, Mormon doctrine, doctrine teaches God and Christ have a body of flesh and bone as yours and mine. The Holy Spirit is a personage of spirit. So this is unique. So far as I know, that the nature of God and that their bodies are tangible as you, bodies of flesh and bone. And this is God doctrine. The Mormon missionary about it. He doesn't want to talk about it. Yet, would not get nearly a convert if knew what their doctrine really is. They come to you in sheep clothing, pretending to the gospel as it's taught, and lead even through the act of water baptism by immersion, so-called sins, which is misnomer. But they don't want you to know distinctive doctrines. Adam God doctrine. Adam God doctrine teaches, and Joseph Smith in his after he penned the Book of Mormon, this Brigham Young took it and expanded. Others have expanded it since then. In fact, Lorenzo, I believe it was, reduced it to this formula. As man is, was, as God is, man will be. It's what common. As God, so man once was. As God is now, to become. Expanded just. Brigham Young preached a sermon in which he said that Adam came to this direction with Eve, who was one of his sons, and that he organized this world, not simply organized it, and that he has passed. And he has now gone on and progressed. And becoming a God, and he is the only which we have to do. Mormon doctrine also the idea of eternal progress. Another point here, if you want to put it down, progression. This speech is common man, if he meets certain qualifications, can proclaim where someday he will become. And he can take his wife to another terrestrial ball somewhere, laid it, and it'll become his work. So, Calvinism believes in theism, a priesthood of gods, and monotheism, only God of the universe will teach us. Argue with them about this point. Let's have another point of argument here that you can tell men about. And then we'll expand on it and others tie them together. Celestial marriage. Celestial marriage. This is a ceremony that is conducted in the Mormon temple. The latest count that I have, the figure that I have, is that there are 6 Mormon temples complete in the world today. And I've read 1 or 2 under construction, and I've heard 5 under construction. I don't know if it's accurate. But a ceremony has to be performed inside one of these temples. Talk about that for just a moment. The temple in Logan, where we live. In 1976, along the fall of the year, the doors there announced that they have a 2-year refurbishing program. It took them a little over 2 years, spent $8 million to refurbish the building. A year ago this month, they had open house. And Brother Rock, who is in the audience today with me, he and his up, and my wife and I, and the 4 of us went through the Mormon temple on the so-called cross. And inside these temples, they do not do what you would think they do. Something else. Things that go on inside the temple. One is their priesthood ceremonies, which have leaked out. We won't talk about that now. Special marriage ceremony, which we're going to talk about. But number 3, they're back to the dead. These are the 3 primes that are performed in the temples. We went through the temple, we observed and were instructed to get this picture. That when a couple is ready to be married, they schedule ceremony with the bishop, and on the day that they come, go in first to the room, are issued clothing there from the ground up out that's totally white, shoes and everything. They go into a locker room then, and they have locker rooms for the women and a locker room for the men. Into them, you'd think you were in a gym there. They just go at a row of double lockers, one another with numbers on them. And you take off your street clothes in this locker and put on the uniform. Then you go through the ceremony. Now they promise you that they give you special underwear, a wedding garment. In Utah, we have other names for it, like holy water. Somebody call it angel pants. But then, they were long-sleeved and long legs, much like the old long handle that I wore when I was a child. They had updated legs then, and you can get a brief forms of them now with short-sleeved legs. They even have nylon now, and a little lace on the ladies' version. Then they have a suit, and they tell you in the suit, this suit is special. Will protect the wearer from harm. An instance of when the car was fired, a truck hit on and 4 killed, and the only one that wasn't killed was wearing his wedding garment. What they don't tell you is about all the people that are wearing them. So there's a few from harm. I have a suit that I had, and I had to bring it to. But in the back in the staying, and I'll promise to bring it. I don't show it publicly. I keep it in a plastic bag. I'll have it down there in front tomorrow. If any of you would like to look at it, you're welcome to look at it actually. I do not display it publicly. But you notice on it, over its breast, special buttonhole that's worked in a V-shape. These buttonholes, they tell you, are symbolic, and they're to remind you, to reveal the secrets that you're changing in this ceremony that you promised, your heart cut out, and your body engaged, and your leg, and the buttonhole on the leg, and your legs amputated, or chopped off at the neck. Rather bloody thing. Now then, also, celestial marriage ceremony, the husband and the wife will have a special name by the bishop, secret name. For the woman, if the wife is named Virginia, he may give the name Sarah. And he might give me the name. These are secrets you never tell anybody. Never say them out loud. Body, we only use them ourselves. Just between us. Now then, for that is this. Their doctrine. On the morning of the resurrection, back up just a moment. Wife, when she's buried, will be buried over her face. On the morning of the resurrection, the husband will be resurrected first. It'll be his responsibility to lift the veil from off his wife's and call her by the name, and only she be resurrected. So it's very important for the wife, husband, remember that name. If the husband is on the morning of the resurrection, he doesn't know her name. And that's one reason why, the Mormon women so far have more or less apostle DRA. Enough of that. Another thing, and this some of this together. Another point of doctrine that's superior to the Mormon religion is glory. 3 degrees of glory. The Smith said where he was caught up into the third heaven because he couldn't talk about it. And over in 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul see left his body into two rooms. And he said, there's two heavens. So he named it still the top heaven. He called it celestial heaven. For all Mormons will go to the celestial heaven. Then there are 3 divisions of celestial heaven. And what you do on earth is which divisions you go to up there. The top division is all of the Mormons who have been married. Marriage ceremony. So it's important to a Mormon, if you progress to the point where he is God, that they travel in the world and have marriage performed or solemnized in a Mormon temple. Now then, you may have already been married somewhere else years ago. You can still go and go through the marriage ceremony reenacted, and it's from that point on that the wedding garment assured then of the upper echelon of the third heaven, if you have observed the word which restricts you to the non-use of fish and tobacco and alcohol, the name of it. And you have kept current on your tithing, and that you have gone on a mission, that our woman performed good works, such as going to the temple for the dead, working in relief society and many others. If you've never given the bishop, reject your temple recommender. That if you keep all of the current, then you're in the upper echelon of the third heaven. The biblical is reserved for those who are not married, and then the lower for what's called Jack and White. Lower echelon will have to serve the lower echelon in the next. So that's the celestial world, the third degree. No, the celestial, I'm sorry. out in the is the T-Rex. Joseph Smith said, well, he fought three heavens, but he only gave us two. Made up the third name and called celestial. Down here on earth, it's to glorify. Actually, got his terms here. It would work better if he had them the other. But if he had two little, because it comes, well, it came imagination, but if it would, there with telegraph and telephone, better here in the middle. And T-Rex, of course, comes from Latin word from which terra firma. I remember seeing old Brother Marshall Keeble, somebody asking about terra firma, foot, and he said, the more firma, the less. That's what it means. But anyhow, if they build the middle one, right after I moved to Logan, a young man named Grant Soren, Gibson, called me one day, talked a while, wanted to come out and invited him and came out and stayed for 2 weeks. Over the next day, came back many times to my house. Table, he attended our worship service, and he tried to be very diligently to make a Mormon out of me. I tried equally as diligently out of him, and we both failed. But one night when we were talking about the heavens, these 3 degrees of glory, me who all was going to the select heaven, said, well, Galen, according to your doctrine, where will I go? He said, to the terrestrial heaven. The man said, how do you count? He said, well, you believe in God, you're doing the and he said, some people learn the truth, wait for you. Well, Galen, that's where you're mistaken. You'll learn the truth and be too late. Of course, this was a battle of words. Still waiting to see which way. But I don't have to worry about where I'm going. I said, all right, who goes to celestial heaven? And he said, everybody believe in God. The atheists, the agnostics, all the evil men, many will be, I guess. But anyway, 3 degrees of glory. Peculiar Mormonism. Well, and I said, believe in hell? He said, yes. I said, he said, the mission. I said, who are they? He said, they're apostate Mormons. And if we want a moment, let me tell you about apostate. There's 3 ways to become an apostate Mormon. One is to commit murder. The murder has to be a person. And the reason why is because if the person when you kill him, then you did him a favor. That's that in a moment. But if you kill an innocent person, innocent blood, then that makes you an apostate. You do good graces. Secondly, you can become a Mormon by committing adultery. Let me pause again. Mormons have an entirely different definition of what you and I have. The definition of adultery is not what it is. It's not what the Bible defines. Of course, neither does God or salvation or any of these things. They've got their own definition for it. Adultery, according to Mormons, is when a man acts with a brother, wife, and it has to be the first time this is counted. And you have to now then will apostatize you from the mark. Thirdly, is if you leave the Mormon Church and anything else. Now if you just quit, don't ever go again, that's all right on their roles. Find something else and you have apostatized. And these 3 people then will go to heaven. But there's, that brings in another point here. Blood atonement is another point of doctrine peculiar to the Mormon Church in that definition. It teaches us that the blood of Jesus Christ is from all sin. The Mormon doctrine says that there are some that are so grievous until the blood of Christ cleanses them. Only the blood of the individual crime, blood only, for that sin. Now, back up here to become an apostate Mormon. You remember 2 years ago last year, Gary Gilmore made the nation wide news, being executed by the squad in a mountain prison. I was a martyr. Tell guilty operator, guilty murder. Told him that hell, but he told him that if he shed his blood in that was his sin, and he could immediately go to the history of Utah. All who have been sentenced have been put their choice of execution either by hanging or by firing squad. Six in the history of Utah chosen to be hung. And they chose to die before the fire so that the blood could be and that would atone for whatever committed with the blood of cover. Now, these are some of the things. Many other things we'll talk about tomorrow. Now that let's come to a close and stop your time for if you have any. These young Mormon men in your living room, you have asked them to things that and they're different. I don't know the things they'll give you. I doubt it. If they don't volunteer, you just ask them about them. Just, I've heard this. Don't elaborate about any of these. Ask them about it, because visit with you is going to be brief, so you better hurry. At this stop and say, gentlemen, if you had to choose one book, what book would that be? Now that if these young men Mormonism, and that's all they've ever known, they will choose the Book of Mormon. I've asked a number of men, and people that take the Bible and the Book of Mormon, I said, let's suppose you're going on a space trip to Mars, you've got a packing list that's going to be checked, and you can only take one book, what book would that be? And every time they have a fine line, bottom line, the Book of Mormon. Now then, if the young man in your living room is a recent to Mormonism, and many men who are converted in their high school go on a mission within the world, he'll think more of the Bible than he does the Bible. That won't always work, but this will work. From which they choose one or the Doctrine of Covenants. They'll say the Book of Mormon every time. And you write that down, say, now you say the Book of Mormon over the Doctrine of Covenants. Yes, sir. Then you hold your list and say to them, did not one of these things that you seem to me that's distinctive about Mormonism can be found in Mormon? One of these things that you say makes them unique, makes it stand for all the rest of religions in the world, not one of them can be found in Mormon. Remember what you do? Not convert, but to shake his faith in humanity. He has just told that the Book of Mormon is the most precious in the world to him. It will not support one part of doctrine that's unique to believe. A lot of things that we talk about here, a lot of other things showing the inconsistencies of the Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenant, the idiots. So the Book of Mormon, we talk about other on another day. What will happen at that point? Not before. Young men will certainly look at the and then look at the and tell you to meet about meet somebody, get up and leave. Call them to the street, begging them to visit with you, and they will promise they will, but they won't. Because as soon as you pierce their armor, give them a question that they can't answer. Got no more time for you. They've been in not to waste time with anybody who don't think they can convert. The only hope you have is to faith in his authority, make it bend a little bit.
Please run this fast forward. The end is over for side two.
Now the selection, if you have questions, let me say this to you. Not promised to answer your question. Promise to listen to the discussion. More.